This was 2018. My wife's birthday was coming up, and she'd really been bugging me about wanting a treadmill. She'd been wanting one for years, but those things are crazy expensive. On a tight budget, the only option that felt reasonable was to get one used. I scrolled on Craigslist for several days, looking for anything that stood out as a good deal, but it was hard to know what was good and what wasn't. But after a few days, I did stumble on one that seemed to be both in good shape and not overpriced. Looked very lightly used. I contacted the guy, who sent me his phone number so we could talk about finding a time to meet up. His name was Terrence. We never called. Everything we discussed was over text. But he didn't seem pushy or weird in any way. Just some guy looking to get rid of a treadmill that his wife also had wanted, but ended up never using. The only minor issue with this Terrence guy was that he seemed to always be working very late hours. He said he did the closing shift at his job, and always got out at 10 p.m. That was a bit late for me, knowing he was already about a 45-minute drive from my place, so we kept going back and forth on plans for me to pick it up, never really setting anything up yet. Until one night, around 8:30, he texted me that he was getting out of work early this night and asked if I was available. At this point, my wife's birthday was just in a few days, so with not much time left, I agreed to just head down there that night. I drove to my brother's place to borrow his pickup truck, then drove out to the address Terrence sent me. Before leaving, I tried doing a quick search of it online to see if there was a street view of the house, just to have an idea of what I was pulling up to. And while there was a Google Street View of the road his house was on, I couldn't actually see his house, or any other houses on the street for that matter. Regardless, I headed down there. I don't live in the biggest town/city. A lot of houses are far out, and so this one also being far away and what you'd consider to be in the middle of nowhere wasn't that unusual. His house was in one of those older neighborhoods that didn't really feel like a neighborhood. There was just one long, winding gravel road through the woods with smaller paths/driveways leading into the trees. My maps didn't even recognize those paths as drivable and told me I'd reached my destination before even turning down the one Terrence's house was on. I drove a good ways down it. I'd say almost a quarter mile, before reaching his house. It was massive, for lack of a better word. A huge mansion, settled right in the middle of the trees. One of those old brick-style ones, with pillars on the outside, and vines that climbed up the outer walls. It was not the house I expected to see from a guy selling a used treadmill, on Craigslist, of all places. I parked and headed up to the front door. I could hear the knocks echo through the whole inside of the home. A minute later, Terrence opened the door. He was a tall but thin man, probably in his early 30s. He said the treadmill was just upstairs in one of the spare bedrooms. He started to lead me inside and up the stairs. The inside of this mansion was probably exactly what you're imagining. Old furniture everywhere, outdated wallpaper, and it even had a musty smell. Not like it was abandoned, though. He clearly lived here. It just had a very strange, almost haunting feeling. I did not like being in there. When we got up the staircase, there was this massive hallway with probably 8 to 10 doors. Some were open, some were closed. As he led me down the hall, I glanced into a few of the open doors, not necessarily looking for anything, just doing it out of habit. When we passed one of the doors on the left of the hallway, sort of in the middle, I caught sight of something really fucking creepy. There was a man sitting on the edge of a large bed, facing the doorway, and just looking at me with a hollow, dead stare. I quickly shifted my eyes away and didn't say anything. Terrence didn't say anything either, showing me into the last door at the very end of the hallway. The only thing in this room was the treadmill. I awkwardly stood in the doorway for a moment, waiting for him to go in, before he patted me on the back and told me to take a look, that I could test it out or do whatever I wanted to make sure it was good for me. I smiled and walked over. Didn't really know what to do, so I just turned it on and made sure it seemed to function like I thought it would. While I heard a soft creaking sound from the hallway, like a door moving. I looked up at Terrence, and he was looking down the hallway, giving this cold, demanding stare. Then he looked back at me, pretending like nothing happened.
"So, do you like it?"
"Oh, yeah, looks good to me."
He said great, and that he was gonna go get something to help us move it downstairs and into my truck. He then hurried away from the room before I could say anything. I heard his footsteps go down the hall and to the first floor. I stayed in the room, not really sure what else to do. A few seconds later, I heard a different set of footsteps. At first, they were soft, walking into the hallway. And then, all of a sudden, they sprinted from the other end of the hallway, straight down to the room I was in. But they stopped right before appearing in the doorway.
"Hello?"
I called out. I knew he was standing right in the hallway, just out of sight. I could hear him breathing. I took a few steps closer to the doorway, and just before I reached it, suddenly the man sprinted back down the hall. I only caught a glimpse of him running into the bedroom and slamming the door shut. I think I mumbled something like, "What the fuck was that?" under my breath, really unnerved by whatever that was.
"Terrence?"
I called out his name. It echoed through the entire mansion. The only noises in response were the low thuds and creaks from the old house settling in the wind. I started getting this aching feeling in my gut, telling me not just to leave, but to run. I fought it though, and instead slowly moved down the upper hallway.
"Terrence? You still there?"
I called out again, with no response. I passed by the door to the room I saw the man run into, but it was silent in there. I couldn't fight the feeling anymore, sensing something was about to go sideways real fast, and ran for the staircase. Right when I got down the first step, I saw Terrence hurrying up from the bottom. When he saw me, he quickly shifted his right hand behind his back and looked at me with wide, guilty eyes. We didn't speak for a second, just looking at each other.
"Everything okay, bud?"
I was frozen. I didn't know what he was hiding behind him, but it definitely could not be anything to help move the treadmill with, like he had said. He could probably read my face that I knew something was wrong, but I knew I just needed to get past him and out of this house.
"I was just gonna head out to my truck to grab the cash, if that's all right."
Terrence kept his eyes on me, weirdly thinking about it, like he was deciding whether or not to let me. But then, after a few seconds, his face grew into a wide, fake smile, and he said okay. He moved toward the wall, as if to let me walk past him. I paused for a moment, then slowly walked down. I moved past him, feeling his eyes watching me, and anticipating the possibility that something would happen. But I got to the door and hurried to the truck. It was dark, so I didn't notice it at first, but right when I got in and sat down, I could feel the truck leaning to one side and knew he had slashed the tires. I didn't care. I just pulled out and drove with the flats all the way out of the neighborhood. I did notify the police station, but nothing worth noting really happened. They tried to talk to Terrence, but he refused to answer any questions, and I had no proof of any wrongdoing, or that he was the one that slashed the tires on my brother's truck, so it got nowhere. I find myself genuinely disturbed every time I think about being in that old mansion. I can't figure out what was really going on in there. Something was wrong with that other guy, and I don't know what. I'm not sure if he was in on the whole thing, or if he was actually also a victim. I just really hope nobody else falls for whatever I almost went through. I was selling some stuff from my apartment in an effort to clear it out and start fresh with new furniture. At the time, Facebook Marketplace had just become a thing, and I didn't really know all that much about it, or even have a Facebook account to use, so I just used Craigslist. It was the easiest way I knew to get rid of stuff, and maybe it's different where I lived, but around there, everyone used Craigslist. It was a very regular, common thing that I'd rarely heard people having bad experiences from. Even my parents had used it to sell and buy some stuff a while back. Because a lot of the furniture that I was getting rid of was heavy-ish and hard to move by myself, I always mentioned to anyone wanting to buy that they had to come and pick it up. I lived alone and I only had a small car, so I couldn't drag a couch to a meetup location. I didn't mind so much, though, because I lived in an apartment complex. There were around 10 other people living in my building, and you would need a key to the complex and to my room if you were to try anything. If I lived in a house, then I probably wouldn't have been letting strangers in. Anyway, I had made plans with a guy named Carson for him to swing by my apartment and pick up the couch. He said he had a pickup truck and could drag it out himself. Plan was for him to get there at 6:30. I think he was just 10 or 15 minutes late when he called and said he was outside. I put my dog, Cleo, in the bedroom to keep her out of the way. Then I headed down and let him into the complex and led him up to my unit. Carson was noticeably a pretty small guy, skinny and almost dirty looking. His hair was medium length and shaggy, and same with his beard. It wasn't what I was expecting at all, because over the phone he confidently said that he could carry the couch out himself. Even over the call, he was much more talkative, and now in person, he was barely talking at all. I didn't mind helping him load it into his truck, but it just felt weird seeing him so differently than he sounded and acted on the phone. We walked into my room and I showed him to the couch. Carson still didn't really talk much or show really any emotion. Honestly, he looked tired and like he didn't even want to be there. After 30 seconds of him staring blankly at the couch, I straight up asked him if he wanted it or not. He stared me in the eyes, really creepily, and nodded his head. But before I could say anything, Cleo started scratching at the bedroom door down the hall. She was a really old dog, almost 14, and was always very quiet and would just sleep all day. Her scratching at the door was really odd and made me think something might be wrong. I said, "Excuse me," and quickly hurried down the hall to the bedroom, giving her some pets and making sure she was okay. She was still quietly whining though, like something was wrong. I felt bad, but I closed the door and hurried back to the living room to get this deal over with. But Carson wasn't there. I stood in the middle of the room, almost comically moving my head around, but this guy was gone. He just vanished. Must have ran out of the building during the 20 seconds I was away without saying a word. I poked my head out into the hallway and didn't see him, so I called his phone a couple of times and texted him, but then just closed the door and gave up. Honestly, I thought it was nothing more than just some weird, creepy dude. If anything, I was more weirded out by him coming to my apartment for the couch, yet not really looking at it, and seeming to not even want the couch at all. I went back to Cleo and hung out with her for the next few hours in the bedroom, not stressing too much over the situation, and figuring someone else would want the couch anyway. I wasn't in any sort of rush to get rid of it. I watched TV in bed so Cleo could sleep next to me, and eventually when it was around 11-ish, I woke her up to take her outside before bed. It was pretty cold outside. I think it was mid-December, and around here it gets very cold in the winter. I usually wore thin sweatpants inside, but would put on another pair of warmer snow pants over top of them when I had to go outside. So I took my phone out of my pocket and tossed it onto the bed so that it didn't get stuck in the pocket underneath my snow pants and be uncomfortable and weird. I then put on my jacket and got Cleo's leash, then headed out of the room, through the hallway, and outside to the back of the complex so that she could use the bathroom. It was as I was outside that I'd realized I'd forgotten to grab my phone after tossing it on the bed and getting dressed. I just forgot to put it back into my outer pants pocket. I wasn't worried. I was only outside for a couple of minutes. It was just something that I noticed and thought about while I was out there. When Cleo was done, I took her back inside and got back into our unit, then went back to the bedroom and started to take off my winter stuff. That's when I looked at the bed and saw my phone wasn't there. I quickly patted down my pockets to double check, but I was certain I tossed it right there on top of the mattress. And that's when it all clicked. That Carson guy disappearing. He never left. I needed to get out of there immediately. I picked up Cleo, and just before I left the room, I heard a sound from the other end of the apartment. I leaned my body past the doorframe and looked down the hallway. Carson was standing right in the middle of the hall, staring down at me with that same blank, creepy face.
"Carson, what the hell are you doing here?"
He didn't respond. He stood there unfazed and emotionless, like some sick creature.
"Have you been inside here the whole night?"
I felt my voice start shaking a bit, but as I said that, I actually started to feel my body fill with rage. I was scared, but also pissed off. I put Cleo down, and the adrenaline sort of just took over. I charged toward him, and he barely even reacted. I pretty much threw him to the ground and hit him a couple times as he tried to get up. He wasn't a big guy, and I was so full of rage that I was confident enough to attack him like that. Though looking back, if he had had a weapon, he could have just killed me right there. But thankfully, he didn't. He dropped my phone during the commotion though, and I grabbed it and called the cops. He tried to run a few times, but I wouldn't let him. And for the whole fight, and even the 10 minutes that we waited for the police, he still said nothing. The freak really was just a freak. Some sick guy probably planning to do more, but ultimately freezing up and not doing anything. I mean, he stole my phone and had me pretty much trapped inside the unit with him, with no way to call for help even if I tried hiding in the bedroom. The cops arrested him for trespassing and added on breaking and entering, but because he didn't really do anything else, the guy didn't actually get any jail time. He was let out on bond the next day and obviously had court hearings and a bunch of other legal stuff, but nothing too serious, I think. I still look back at that event as the closest I'd been to losing my life. I got absurdly lucky that he froze up and didn't have any weapons. If it went any other way, I don't think I'd be here to write this. I was using Craigslist to sell some stuff before a fairly long distance move. Being a younger female, I definitely tried to be a little more careful with meeting up with random people. I always made sure to meet up in a public area. I never gave anyone my address or went to anyone else's house. For several weeks, I slowly got rid of a bunch of stuff and had nothing but good experiences. This was on a Wednesday night, right after getting out of work at 7. I was texting a stranger that told me his name was Ethan, who was looking to buy one of the full-length mirrors that I had listed. He said he lived an hour away, and so he sent me the location of a gas station that was halfway between us. On maps, it looked like a typical gas station on the side of the road, and was 30 minutes from me. Of course, driving that far right after getting out of work wasn't ideal, but he seemed really interested and was also willing to make the drive, so I would have felt bad to say no. It was already well past sunset when I arrived there. I parked at one of the spaces near the gas pumps and got out. Something felt off, though. It was extremely quiet, and nobody else was around. No other cars or people. No one was even driving on the road going past the gas station. And looking at the building, I think the store part was closed. I stood out there for several minutes before getting really unsure about this. Had I known this place was so isolated, I would have never agreed to meet up here. Part of me wanted to leave, but also I'd just driven 30 minutes out here, and I knew Ethan was also driving 30 minutes, and was probably just a few minutes from getting here. So I sort of pushed down the uneasiness and waited. Not too long later, I saw the red pickup truck that Ethan said he would be driving, pulling into the gas station. The windows were heavily tinted, and it was too dark to see much, even when he had parked right next to me. He stayed inside the truck for 30 seconds as I waited, and then he opened the driver's side door and stepped out. When I saw him, blood rushed from my face, and I nearly had a heart attack. Now is a good time to jump back to give context. 2 months ago, shortly before deciding to move away, I had dinner with a guy named John. We met on a dating app, and he seemed like a normal, average guy, so I agreed to dinner. Almost right away, however, I knew things were not going to work out. He was a little weird in person. He was a little bit pushy, and he kept buying me drinks without me asking. And if I said I was okay, or didn't feel like drinking anymore, he'd start subtly trying to guilt trip me. It was very strange and kinda creepy. And because of that odd behavior, I only stayed at the restaurant with him for 40-ish minutes before just cutting it short. But instead of letting me go, he tried to get me to ride home with him, saying I couldn't drive because I'd been drinking. Of course, drinking the drinks that he had been providing to me. The thing was, I didn't even drive there. I had gotten a ride. And so eventually, with him still trying to get me into his car, I went to the restroom and ordered an Uber, then waited for it to arrive before rushing out and right into the car. I never called or texted him after that, and just blocked his number and forgot about it. So 2 months later, when I was alone at that gas station to meet some stranger named Ethan and saw John step out of the truck, I almost threw up in fear. He didn't even try to hide his intent either. As he walked around the truck toward me, he had this disturbing, unsettling, wide smile across his face. Like he was proud of himself for successfully luring me out here and falling into his trap. It was sickening. I hurried back into my car, closing the door just as he got up to my window. He said my name over and over, in an eerily calm tone, as he grabbed the door handle and tried to open it to get inside. I was very quick to turn my car on and throw it in reverse. It all happened really fast, like just in 10 seconds, and right when my car started to move back, I saw his face shift into anger. He suddenly raised his arm and stabbed the window with something in his fist. It immediately shattered the glass. I think it was a knife, but it was all kind of a blur. I pulled away and floored it down the road. By the time I'd called the police and they got there, John, or whoever he was, wasn't there anymore. And, disturbingly, I actually had no way to really know who he was. Both phone numbers, the one I'd blocked 2 months ago, and the other number that he used for Craigslist to text me as Ethan, were prepaid throwaway phones with no direct link to anyone. I still felt the police did an honest investigation, but there just wasn't anything else to do. It's really scary thinking how 2 months had gone by after that single night of meeting him, and he was still after me. He very likely could have been stalking me for that entire time, and I really had no idea at all. How else would he have known about me selling stuff on Craigslist? I think it's really apparent that he had some horrible, disturbing intentions, specifically choosing a faraway, desolate gas station to meet me at, so that we'd be alone and he could get away with whatever he was going to do. Thankfully, I moved far away soon after that incident. Had I not gotten away, I don't know where I'd be right now.